Hello everyone, Lee Blackall back for the Teachers of Health Professionals interviewing Alexander Hayes, a friend, a long-time friend. I think we've known each other for well over 10 years now, Alex, working in the educational development sense or ed tech as well. And Alex, among many things, you're going deep, you're diving deep into Google Glass, those wearable glasses that Google have taken on and successfully marketed to the world as the next big thing. Alex, I've got three questions to see if we can get this down under 10 minutes. Tell us what you know about Google Glass, and I know that you're organizing probably the first Google Glass event in Australia, or the biggest one by the look of it. Then the next question will be what uses you could see for Google Glass or similar technology in the education of health professionals, or even the practice for health professionals. And then you've been running a fascinating interview series looking at people who have been going deep into Google Glass by actually wearing them around and reflecting on their experiences. So those three questions, starting with the first: what is Google Glass, and what's the event you're organizing? Over to you, Alex.
Thanks, Lee. Essentially, Google Glass is part of a whole suite of tools known as digital eyewear, and digital eyewear has a long history, at least 20 years, going back as far as Professor Steve Mann from the University of Toronto. But yes, championed recently by Google, who have taken on board this device, which is a networked device that connects both to phones and to Wi-Fi. It presents information to the wearer. And the University of Canberra at the Inspire Centre specifically are looking at where this particular innovation will play out across a range of sectors. The event will happen on May the 12th and it will be a networked event. It will have a range of nodes across the world, a range of physical speakers, and most interestingly, for your cohort, Lee, there will be many physicians, pharmacologists, pharmacists, military, policing, law, national security, logistics, travel, marketing, information technology, research, retail, fashion, and other trades practices all present at that particular event. The devices, as you can see on your screen here, are head-worn, networked, location-enabled technology. April 15, which is today here in Australasia, was the day on which it went, I believe, went globally live. There are a range of services that are making people that are not US citizens having an enabled way of gaining these. On May the 12th at the University of Canberra, there will be people present who are both developers but also wearers that wear them basically all day, every day, as part of their profession, as part of their occupation.
Well, thanks, Alex. So you'll be broadcasting that event. I think it's Australian Eastern Standard Time, starts at 5 p.m. And you'll be broadcasting that event through Google Hangouts on air.
That's correct.
Okay.
And also bringing in a range of guests, speakers, who are part of nodes in the US, the UK, and other locations to speak of projects that they're involved with and also development. And a number of those are specific to health professionals who are mapping this particular networked innovation for a specific purpose, not only for receiving information but also transmitting information, for recording live, hands-free interaction in various capacities and contexts, and also that from a health professional perspective, that being a network technology, that this device speaks to many information communication systems.
All right, so well, let's boil that down to a manageable example. So give us at least one example of how you see this playing out in a health professional setting, or even the education of health professionals. How would you see this role playing out? Give us an example.
Somebody who is perhaps interacting with another, with a patient or with somebody who is a recipient of care, and that individual is able to, when they meet that particular, be in that particular location with that individual, still maintain and undertake tasks and be essentially human and intimate with that particular other individual without taking their eyes off the individual and concentrating elsewhere on information, can get live information fed to them. It can be location enabled. That individual can also record information that might be pertinent regarding the case of that patient and transmit that data directly back into a repository of information about the patient. They can also perhaps tap into medical records of that particular individual there and then in that location, but not only digest that information, but also contribute to that information. And in terms of surgery, many different prompts that allow the surgeon to remain hands-free and operational. In terms of pharmacology and dispensing of medications, that individual is triple-checking, quadruple-checking dosages, all the rest of it, while at the same time still maintaining consistently being part of their task. So,
it raises, you know, so many issues that I know you are covering in your work. So many privacy issues, data collection and management issues, I mean, particularly in the health sector. I mean, let's move on to the interviews, because in those you are touching on some of those, so this might be an opportune time to cite which interviews particularly are talking about these issues and insert your own comments, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing a fascinating project interviewing, well, you tell us, it's people who have been using Google Glass for at least a year or something like that, right?
That's right. Yeah, in June, July last year, we conducted a conference in Toronto, Canada, to bring together world leaders around ethics, privacy, and the larger considerations by engineers and others, or not, with how these played out within a social impact and professional impact. But more specifically, I've been interviewing the Google Glass Explorers, the first who have had access to the equipment for the last year. I'll have conducted 60 interviews by the end of June this year. They're accessible.
How many interviews did you say?
60 in total.
Well, that's a high number.
So I've conducted 30 already. There are a number of individuals within there that are identified within that YouTube stream that I can provide to you, and you can put in this recording here, that are specifically addressing the key operational concerns, some of the considerations for both in a socio-technical and socio-ethical consideration, but most importantly, a true indication from everyday individuals, from truck drivers through to developers, from tradespeople through to health professionals, who are directly developing, using, and applying this and have done for the last year as part of not a fictitious social phenomena, but one that is due to arrive on the shores of Australasia very soon.
But we'd have to consider that with some circumspect, because I think it's fair to say that this is a marketing strategy of Google's to get these people, these early adopters, in documenting their work for better and worse. And like you said, this technology's been around for a long time, but it's, let's call it the iPhone effect. Google arrives with what they call Google Glass, and suddenly everyone's paying attention. PDAs were around for a long time before iPhones arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly, they offered an elegant design to it, but quite a remarkable shift in market readiness in the iPhone phenomenon, and it looks like the same path's being followed with the Google Glass.
Well, in that respect, it was interesting. One of the interviewees likened that he was a key marketer, has been for two decades, but can't recall when a beta product was released into the wild where explorers perhaps became agents of marketing ambassadorship, and where the buy-in, in actual fact, is released as slip-ups within marketing. So what we have, I'm interested in the human response to who they are as individuals and what they're doing with the device. I understand the motivations of organisations, particularly those of consortium level, in the way that there are many psychologists behind the release of these particular phenomena. But in this instance, I'm interested in the fact that there is a two-decade-long innovation cycle that has been happening within the digital eyewear environment. There are providers like Samsung, Meta, a range, Epson, who are fast moving into competing with Google in this digital eyewear space. Their innovations and the way that they are going to design is going to parallel that. And at this point, yeah, Google Glass looks like a cumbersome device, but it's like the first brick phone, as far as I can tell. It has a perfect signal. It has plenty of noise, and it has a good signal. It may not look good, but I can guarantee you that the form factor will collapse, and it will become everyday. So the idea of my research is to pinpoint, track that, look at impact, and see if there is a tangible, discernible negative and positive outcome for humanity at large, really.
No doubt there's a hell of a lot of issues to, well, I don't know if we'll even deal with them. We'll just be overrun with the sheer volume of the marketing effort, whether deliberate or just as a phenomena, and we won't be ready for it today.
It was revealed in an interview that I conducted this morning, which I can point you to, is that it's revealed that there is a prediction of 17 million units to be released, and yes, they are not just on the US shores, but the most important thing about this is that we are, as educators and as health professionals in this context, looking at digital eyewear and whether it has a place or not within our health, within our profession.
Well, it's all well and good to say, but the or not part seems to be the one that we say but not follow through. I mean, is benzine used in the production of these devices, and is it causing the sickness, if not death, of many, many people who are engaged in making these things, and to what end? An end we don't yet know yet. We're just sort of going into a bit of a fantasy sci-fi world where we imagine a flawless technological experience of hands-free, but
what are the consequences?
What are the real costs here?
Well, I think that the real costs are to be detailed in your ubiquitous framework for ethical consideration around ubiquity. And I also believe that some of the statements that I made within my interview with Nikola Danilov as part of Singularity Weblog will remain true, that there are considerations that we need to make and take. We are humans, and whether or not we can turn these things off is another matter, and we're going to have to better inform ourselves quickly about something that is sweeping fast.
Yes, definitely agreed. In the last 2 minutes, Alex, can you show us the event page for the conference you're convening at Canberra, and soon after that, your YouTube page where your interviews can be found.
Definitely. I'll start my screen share. So if you go to this here, inspire.edu.au, you will note inspire.edu.au, which is Canberra, you will note that there is a Glass Meetup post context as to who's turning up and what details, booking tickets. There are not many left, so if anybody wants to attend physically in Canberra, you have to get in there now. We have key speakers, Professor Mark Billinghurst from HIT Labs in Canterbury University in New Zealand. We have Kathy Reid from APHS, who is aged healthcare health professional as a key speaker. One part of the top 100 women of influence in Australian Financial Review, 2013. Cecilia Abadai, who is a key innovator and developer for, along with Noble Ackerson, as part of Lynx Fit. So picture going to the gym and having instructional workouts together across en masse. Rob Manson, who some people know very well, developer in Australasia, who is in the AR space, who will be...
AR, just for those who...
Augmented reality.
Okay, so that's basically the heads-up display of information such as temperature, location, and objects that are in front of you displaying
in
front of your eyes. Yep.
So glass in some ways associated with AR, but not principally related
okay.
to...
Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought front and center Google Glass of you about
more org mediated, but yes, it's certainly there's a parallel. And there's also Brandon King, who's a key young ITS developer in Ohio. You'll note that HIT Labs are there, Lynx Fit, APHS, Build AR, and also GPOP. But we also have a number of other people, such as Instructure, Canvas LMS, coming on board, and most importantly, the Glass Explorers, who are a very varied and very interesting group of people from around the world who are also intersecting with this event. Yeah.
Alex, as always, you're on the bleeding cutting edge of the technological implications, and very thoughtful and considered. A lot of people can mistake you for being evangelical for this, but not at all. I find you very thoughtful and considered in these spaces. We're taking us now to your YouTube channel. What is it, youtube.com/AlexanderHayes, or...?
Yes, it is. You can go to the front page of alexanderhayes.com, click on the glass videos, and it goes directly into this list. Also, inspired.edu.au, if people go to that environment, they'll find every interview has been loaded up into that site as well.
Okay.
But I've interviewed, a range of, where's the speaker on here?
You're in your office, mate.
Yeah, no, mute, but here we go. Mute.
Talking about intrusive technology.
No, it's okay. I put this one on hold, but not that one. I've interviewed health professionals, lawyers, musicians, key people in health medics, as in org medics, the architects of the actual device themselves, people in various non-English speaking environments who are using it to teach various languages, sci-fi writers, fitness people, a preschool teacher using glass with preschool students in the States. Also
in America.
And individuals, across a wide array, going right back to one of the principals, Cecilia Abadai, who has been very, very helpful in connecting me with a range of occupations and people, not simply about the media, but people who are keenly interested in mapping these devices for specific purpose and positive purpose within their professions. Yeah.
Hey, Alex. Thank you very much for taking us through that. If you could unshare your screen so we can say our face-to-face goodbyes.
Yes, there we are.
Thank you, mate.
So, no problem. Thank you, and I look forward to your colleagues to please not only to just investigate and watch these, but to actively participate within the other contacts they see there, to make contact with them and ask the hard questions.
So that's over to you guys, the teachers of health professionals. Google Glass and similar technology, well and truly on our horizons. First event through Canberra next week. Date again, sorry, Alex.
May the 12th. One day prior to the budget call.
Right, where we've suddenly got ubers amounts of money to throw at something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So thanks again, Alex.
No problem. Thanks, Lee.
Recording's up. Okay. Ciao.
Yeah.